You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
We've got Jordan Renan, who joins us now, covers your Giants. Good thing you know that the Giants are in New Jersey, not that Evan Neal knew that they were located in New Jersey. Is that a true story?
This is a normal thing, Anita. I mean, I've talked to tons of guys. They get drafted by the Giants, and especially if you didn't come for a pre-draft visit, you think they're like, oh, my God, I'm going to New York. I'm going to live in Manhattan. I'm going to live in among the big skyscrapers. Like, some of these guys, you're from the middle of nowhere, Texas. You've never been to New York. You hear the New York Giants, you think you're playing in Manhattan. You think you're living in Manhattan. And then they come here. They get on a plane. They bring them over, and they're like, "We're going to Newark, New Jersey," and they're like, "What? We're going? They're taking us to East Rutherford. We're staying in Clifton," and then it's a big wake up call. And then that would not be the first, and won't be the last either. So that kind of thing to happen to these guys, thinking they're going to be in New York and finding out, hey, real quick, hey, this is a New Jersey operation here.
I have two quick stories in regard to. One was I was in Baltimore and the Ravens drafted Ray Rice, and I hosted his first year. I hosted a radio show with him, and so this was early on. You know, he was a rookie and he was looking for places to live, and he's like I told my real estate agent, like, I just don't want to be anywhere near the wire. I said, what? It's a movie. I said, that's a show, dude. It's like, he's like, no,
well,
but like that neighborhood really exists here in Baltimore. I don't want to be anywhere near the wire. I'm like, with the kind of money you make, Ray, you're not going to live anywhere near the wire. And then, which, by the way, that neighborhood actually is a stone's throw from downtown Baltimore. So it's close to the harbor. So it I could understand why it was a concern. And then last but not least, my other story was, I'll never forget when the Giants drafted Prince Amukamara. I was in the cafeteria, and he was in there, and he came and he sat down, you know, he was very friendly. He's like, who are you? And I said, I'm Neil Marks. I said, I'm part of the Giants broadcast team. Welcome to the team. Ba, 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 ba. And he's like, man, it's so cool walking around here and seeing these pictures of all these people and blah, blah, blah. I said, yeah, I said, especially that one of Sims, right? And he said, Sims. I said, yeah, Phil Sims. And he said, who is he? And I said, oh,
yeah, definitely.
I said, whoa. I said, you might want to do some research on this organization, dude. Don't ever ask who's Phil Sims. Anyway,
Thibodeau, actually, in his introductory press conference, did say, you know, hey, look, he was honest about it. He's like, you know, I got to do my research on Giants history here. I don't know a ton about, like, you know, some of these guys. Like, he probably doesn't know who, you know, much of the 86 Giants team or the 90 Giants. I mean, he's probably not pretty well versed in them. I would assume he knows who LT is and knows a bunch about LT. But, he probably didn't know too much about Carl Banks until he got here and guys like that.
Well, don't tell Carl that.
I appreciate the honesty.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Jordan Renan joining us here on 98.7 ESPN. Before we start talking about the rookies, let's talk about the big news that happened yesterday and the fact that the Giants had to cut Bradberry. Explain to listeners all the reasons why and what happens from here, like next man up, all that good stuff.
Yeah, well, here's the deal. The Giants, this was always inevitable because they needed to get his salary off the books in order to make this season work. They were at about $6, $7 million under the salary cap. Now, to sign your rookies would cost them around $12 million this year. They have a big, huge rookie class. Remember, two top seven picks, really. And then you have to have some money to operate during the season, to sign some guys to, operate on your practice squad. So they needed to create money. Now, the options were, like, James Bradberry had a huge cap number because they kept moving it back in previous years, right? And so that was a nice option that Joe Shane saw. And then the other option was hey, we could restructure some other guys like Leonard Williams, you know, like guys like that. But the reality is Joe Shane doesn't want to do that. He didn't want to do that. You don't want to take contracts that aren't great contracts in the first place and make them worse for the future. He wants to have flexibility for the future, right? So you don't want to take a guy like Leonard Williams, who's quite frankly getting paid a ton of money, you know, because the way that Dave Gettleman played that whole situation, you know, whole butt backwards, that you don't want to take it and make it worse. You want to give yourself flexibility. Let's say Leonard Williams gets hurt. Let's say he doesn't play well this year. You don't want to have him on the payroll next year for $20-plus million against the salary cap. So the option this year was to take it on the chin, get rid of James Bradbury, even though you know he's your best cornerback, and move forward. And look, the Giants' secondary now is really, really thin. They have two proven starters, and I'm counting Xavier McKinney as a proven starter, even though he only has, like, really 1 year under his belt. Him and Dory Jackson. And after that, man, oof, there's a lot of unknowns, a lot of unproven guys. You got guys like Aaron Robinson, the third-round pick last year, Darnay Holmes. I mean, the Giants are going to be putting a lot on, you know, Cordell Flott, who they drafted in the third round this year, who they're going to give these guys a realistic and serious shot to play this year and kind of see what they got.
Just out of curiosity, you know, and this is a conversation I've had with other people in the industry, and they've asked me this, and so I'm asking you this. Mm-hmm. Kevin Abrams is the money man. I know we sit here and we're like, oh, Dave Gettleman this, Dave Gettleman that, Dave Gettleman, Dave Gettleman, yeah. Dave Gettleman. But, like, Kevin Abrams is the money man. Kevin Abrams worked out these deals, too.
Like, see, the problem with some of these deals, like the Bradbury deal, it's not the deal. Actually, the deal was a good deal. They got a good price on Bradbury, right? They paid, off the top of my head, like, you know, $10, $12 million a year for over three years for a top cornerback. But because they were so short on money in previous years, they kept moving the money back. So, you know, he's only getting paid, I mean, I say only, but it's still a decent number, $13.5 million, which on the last year of his deal isn't crazy for a starting high-end cornerback. But his cap number is now up to $22 million, right? So that's the problem. The problem was moving money back on all these guys in order to operate last year. And really, they were operating last year as a team that was like, you know, that's on the verge of winning. And the reality was they weren't even close. And that's kind of why they're in the situation they are now. And Joe Shane understands that. He says, okay, we're in a bad spot financially. We're going to have to take it on the chin this year. And yeah, I mean, you want to put some of the blame on Kevin Abrams? Absolutely. You know, he was part of that regime. I mean, he knows it. That's why, you know, he wasn't a serious candidate when it came down to it for general manager. So he was part of that regime. But ultimately, those were not his final decisions.
Okay. So rookies, they're here. They're getting to know the playbook. They're getting
Thursday,
familiar with the organization.
Thursday.
Oh, they come Thursday. In Thursday.
Thursday okay. is day one. They come in Thursday. What day are we in today? Tuesday?
Today's Tuesday.
So we're...
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah, they'll be here this week, this weekend. That'll be when they kind of get ramped up.
Okay, because I thought before, like, they would come, like, the day after. They'd come, like, the day after they got drafted. Jordan, that doesn't happen anymore?
Yeah, it depends. Some teams had their rookie minicamp last weekend, and the Giants had theirs this weekend coming up. And I think it's a choice or, I don't know. It's also, remember, each team devises their, or makes their schedule, and kind of dependent on whether you have a new coach and GM, a new regime, you can kind of do different things. You get a couple extra sessions. You can start a little bit earlier when you have a new coach, and like the Giants do, and really they have a new coach and general manager and everybody.
What are you hearing about Daniel Jones and his learning Brian Daboll's new system and all that good stuff? Anything new on Jones?
I mean, you're hearing positive stuff about, you know, they say, you know, they like what they see from Daniel Jones so far, that they're pleased with the way he works. I mean, but this shouldn't be a surprise. This has always been the case with Daniel Jones. You never heard anybody say, you know, Daniel Jones doesn't work. Daniel Jones, you know, isn't a good guy in the locker room. You know, he's a guy who's not all – he's totally invested. I mean, that's what he brings to the table. It's just going to be a matter of, okay, what can they put on the field? I think the one thing you came away from draft weekend thinking, and the Giants had opportunities to take some of these quarterbacks. Granted, the league clearly was not very high on them. But, you know, they had opportunities to take some of these guys, the Malik Willises of the world, Matt Corral, and they said, no, we're not doing that this year. We're going to push that decision down the line, and we're going to, you know, roll with Daniel Jones this year. He's going to get the full opportunity, and they've been very adamant since they came, this new regime. He is going to start. They didn't even come and play the game where they said Tyrod Taylor had it, you know, it was going to be a competition. We'll see who wins. No. Daniel Jones is going to get the opportunity. They kept some guys around in order to give him a chance to have success. They've now, you know, bulked up the offensive line to the point where they hope that it's significantly better, and we can actually see what is Daniel Jones.
Do you think we're sleeping on the fact that Tyrod Taylor is the backup quarterback? Because I hear what you're saying, and I agree with you. Like, I do believe that the Giants are going to give Daniel Jones every opportunity to perform, right? But I guess my question is, you know, how long is that hook? How long is that hook?
I think it's pretty long. They want to see if this is the guy for the future, right? They're not trying to, you know, their top priority isn't, okay, we're trying to win something for real this year. They know where they're at. You know, they barely can make any moves in free agency this year. They had mostly low-level signings. Like, they didn't have money. They've gotten rid of some good, useful players. They would have rather kept James Bradbury. I mean, you know, they wanted to keep James Bradbury, but they couldn't. They financially, it wasn't really an option for them. So I think they understand that their top priority right now is, all right, let's see what we have with Daniel Jones. Look, if it completely doesn't work out, if we're completely done with the situation, then they might move to Tyrod Taylor. But I think if that lease was short, you would have had them come in and say, okay, come in and compete, win it, win the job. But no, they basically said, no, Daniel Jones, here's the job. It's your job. Let's see what you got. We're giving you one more shot to prove you're the guy.
Great stuff, Jordan. Really do appreciate you. Where are you going to be Thursday night when the schedule release night happens? Ooh, I'm a part of a 2-hour special. It's like it's bigger than the Super Bowl.
The way these things work is, the reality is, we know the whole schedule by like the middle of the afternoon or the early evening. It's some of it kind of most of it kind of leaks out, or you know, it's a. I think.
Do you know anything?
There's a big 11-year-old softball game. Not at
Do
this
you
point,
have
not.
Any
usually
little
it
nuggets?
Takes till the day of. No, usually it takes till the day of. I mean, so all we know so far is that they're in London for that.
Right,
Green Bay
against
game,
the Packers. Right.
Which is a good thing. They'd much rather play in London than they would in Green Bay. And personally, I'd much rather go to London than Green Bay.
I'm sure. Jordan, thank you so much. Enjoy the rest of your night, my friend.
Anita, all about me.
Always. It always is, Jordan Renan. It always is.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.